Okay, did that do it?
That
okay.
does it. Very good.
I have a simple question. You didn't say what color the wheat fields are.
Golden.
Are they, not the green, the immature green.
No, they're golden in the story. I thought I mentioned that, but that is important. The same color as his blonde hair. So that's what reminded the fox of the wheat fields.
So two notes. One, I'm going to let Donald call on people. And two, we have about 10 or 15 minutes for questions before it will be time to break before dinner.
Okay. Over here, Polly? I think that's Polly. Patty, I'm sorry.
I'm not quite sure how to ask this question, but the whole view of the analyst or therapist and the patient is so clearly one of the wise one and the impoverished one. And what I feel you're presenting here and what some seem to present, but is not at all understood by the populace, let's say, is that just like the tyrant and the child, and together they must be healed, mm-hmm. It seems to me that there is a huge area in which the therapist is also being healed. And I wonder if you could address this, and why is it so unacceptable to the ordinary person that the therapist needs healing?
Why is it so unacceptable that the therapist needs healing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very good question. I suppose because of our usual stereotypes that, you know, wisdom is something to be imparted from one level of consciousness to another lowly level, which is, of course, backwards. And but it's very much a part of our patriarchal tradition, don't you think? It's changing now. There's a great feminization, if you will, of psychoanalysis that's going on right now. We're discovering the importance of early infant mother attachment, and we're talking about that field as a co-creation of both the mother and the baby. There's no baby without a mother. There's no mother without a baby. We're talking about relationality, the sharing of stories, the sharing of experience, feeling experience in the hour. We're talking about working with the unconscious and with dreams in a much less top-down interpretive way, but rather a mutual discovery.
It's almost as if the divine child is produced by the relationship between the therapist and the
That's Annalisa. Absolutely right. That's right. It's happening, but the word hasn't gotten out yet, maybe. I'm doing my best. Victor?
Can I just pass a comment? Because I think in your humility, Donald, in not allowing your ego to get into the space that she's talking about is what makes you such a faithful servant of Hermes.
Mm.
So as I thought earlier on, what has stuck with me from being a supervisee 20 plus years ago from you is that humanizing laugh of yours that connects me to you, that allows me not to choose you as my father, but it gives me freedom to choose whose fatherly love I want now to continue where my dad left off.
Ah, interesting. Beautiful. So thank you, Victor, for that. Thank you very much. Victor was a part of that professional enrichment program that I started 20 years ago, and so we worked together for a brief time, and he's getting a much, I think, more differentiated version of what I was talking about in those days. I was thrashing around a lot in those days trying to get this picture, but the pieces of it are familiar to him. In the back?
Thank you. This is more of a comment because it's the mother-child dyad, but it works much better if there's another person. Generally, it has been a father. Because the father or the other partner's support of the mother makes the dyad work and
Absolutely.
Possible.
Yes.
And I just think that's so important to remember.
We shouldn't leave out the third, the Father. That's right, the triad, absolutely crucial. Yeah, thank you. Down here in front.
I was just, it was just really interesting that there was so much, that the dreams were so detailed and apparently frequent. Is that typical if this type of, you were lucky in getting this person, or what was that all about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some people are great dreamers and others don't produce many dreams. But this woman happened to be a prolific dreamer. And, of course, she'd been in Jungian analysis for 10 years before she came to me. So she was well-trained. And what you find, and you will discover this too, is that if you... Dreams will come if you attend to them. And part of attending to them is just telling yourself that you want to remember a dream and putting by your nightstand a little notebook. And then before you move in the morning and answer your alarm clock or do anything, wake up and then sink back into where you just were and see if you can get the tag end of an image. And if you actually do that, people will be remarkably adept at starting to remember dreams. But we tend to be so oriented to getting into our lives as soon as we awaken, unless it's a nightmare, we don't tend to remember it. And then if it is a nightmare, we prefer not to remember it. So we, you know. But you'd be surprised. In my doctoral dissertation at Fordham University way back in 71 or whatever it was, collected dream reports from college students. And the other interesting fact is that about 60% of the dreams collected were from women students, and about 40% were from men. So and that's been shown in many studies, that women tend to remember their dreams more readily than men. That's a gender difference. May vary from culture to culture. Over here.
Thank you. You talked last night a little bit about this, and then you just referred to it at the end of your talk about trauma victims who don't choose to heal, who don't choose to take that step. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you do with patients in terms of supportive defenses, and also, well, just in by way of comment, I think that's where Marsha Linehan's work has been really profoundly helpful. So
right.
If you could just speak a little more about that.
Yeah, Marsha Linehan's work has been profoundly helpful because she helps people get a grip. She helps, the DBT work that she does really helps people to find an ego stance that they can manage with. And we need defenses. I mean, what I'm talking about these last few days is those people who have the time, the inclination, the courage, the capacity to undo defenses in the interest of their own wholeness. And wholeness is not for everybody. I'm here to tell you that it's not possible for a lot of folks to do this kind of work simply because they got such a terribly rocky start that a defended life is essential for them. And the kind of work I'm describing here is a luxury for those folks. It's a wonderful thing when it happens. On the other hand, as I tried to say last night, all of us, whether we're defended or not, have access to the soul, to these moments when the two worlds come together. The most defended people in the world have the same access to the soul in a powerful film that the most individuated person does. They may not do the same thing with it. Some of them who are really defended will walk out of the film or close down around the painful experience that they've had, but that doesn't mean that they're not experiencing the two worlds, or the healing that comes from art, from relationship, from the two worlds. It's, we have to be so careful here. You know, we're talking about one little spectrum on the whole spectrum of psychotherapy and the work we do. And I'm really talking here. This is a woman, Barbara, who not only faithfully pursued her analysis for 20 years, but went into the field and became an analyst herself. So, you know, this is not your usual patient. I've had many patients who came to me for whom my major work was to simply help help with the distorted projections that they had onto people that came out of their defensive structures, help them to feel safe in the container with me, help them to do whatever work they could do within the parameters of their defenses and their capacities. Sometimes they were heavily medicated, and sometimes they would ask me to refer them for more medication because they didn't want to feel so much. And even if I might have had ambitions for them to feel more and to risk more and to get worse before they got better, that wasn't my choice. That was their choice, always their choice. So we're talking here about a relative, you know, there's great hope in this work that I'm describing, great hope. But individuation is a suffering that is not always able to be chosen by everyone. Those of us who are lucky enough to have been able to do this work and now help others do it, it's a very privileged profession, very privileged opportunity.
And that was our last question for the evening.
Okay.
A couple of small reminders. There is a newbie dinner with Francis and Dana and Gary. Could the three of you please raise your hands so people know what you look like? If you have a blue dot, you are invited to eat with the newbies to talk about your experience. Also, in the latter part of the dinner hour, if you have not paid, please find me. Anything else, Lori?
Please come to the Jungian Idol talent show tonight. It's a great chance to unwind, and I'm sure it's always fun. It's always different. There will be prizes.
There will be prizes. Thank you again, Dr. Kalshin.
You're welcome. Welcome.